welcome to All Steelers Talk, your home for everything Pittsburgh Steelers, presented by AllSteelers.com. What is up, ladies and gents? It's Thursday. Ben Roethlisberger's at practice. The Pittsburgh Steelers are only one-point favorites, but they're favorites against the Denver Broncos, week five of the NFL season. Look, the ship might be sinking, but it's got to turn around sometime. Could turn around this week. The Steelers host the Denver Broncos at Heinz Field this Sunday. This is All Steelers Talk. I'm your host, Noah Strackbine. Joined always. Joined Tuesdays and Thursdays. I got to stop saying that. Joined Tuesdays and Thursdays with our boy, Donnie Drone. Donnie, welcome. How are you feeling about week five?
I just want to say I'm always here spiritually, if that counts. So.
Very true. Donnie never really leaves. He's just here.
I'm just always there.
But I'm doing four takes on Mondays and Wednesdays because I just hate doing them by myself. You're here, man. You're looking right at me. I try to envision you on the camera.
Yeah.
Donnie, it's week five. Ben Roethlisberger might play. Ben Roethlisberger might not play. You want to know who? They might hit the lottery tomorrow. Maybe the Steelers go out and trade for somebody. Maybe they go out and sign somebody. You want to know what they didn't do yesterday? They didn't do either of those. They missed out on Jalen Smith. They missed out on Stephon Gilmore. I'm telling you, the second both of these guys were released, or you know, released in Stephon Gilmore's case, I got texts from about a million people. Like, Steelers got to grab this guy, right? They got to go get him. And I'm like, yeah, they probably should. And I said that to both of them. Obviously, Stephon Gilmore probably made a little bit more sense. But long story short, they end up Carolina, Green Bay in a weird trade to Carolina, which I don't understand that 4 o'clock rule, but whatever. What did the Steelers miss out on in these two guys?
So Jalen Smith, I don't actually think they missed out on a ton. I've watched a handful of Cowboys games this year, and it always feels like he's not always, like, there. You know, it's kind of like Terrell Edmonds playing at the linebacker position, which is actually where I think Terrell Edmonds should be playing, is at the linebacker position. You know, I feel like if the Cowboys owed Jalen Smith about $7 million and they're paying him to not play football for them, probably not a good sign. I don't think he asked for the release. I mean, he was obviously getting a bunch of playing time over there whenever he was playing with the Cowboys. So Jalen Smith, kind of whatever. I mean, he's a still young, athletic dude. I still feel like if the Steelers did sign him, they could mold him into kind of whatever they want him to be. Stephon Gilmore, though. Stephon Gilmore is a very, very interesting case because that fit both need and kind of it just made sense, right? Like, you know, the Steelers are looking to turn the ship around, like you said, needing help in the defensive secondary. You know, who else better to go grab on the open market than a guy like Stephon Gilmore, who beat TJ Watt out for player of the year 2 years ago, by the way.
Just two years ago.
Still, you know, one of the better corners in the league. You know, I don't exactly think he's the best corner right now. I think that does belong to Jalen Ramsey, but nonetheless, Steelers will take any help they can get, right? Well, apparently not if my man was traded to Carolina for a sixth-round pick in 2023, a couple of years from now, a very, very low day three pick. Getting him for pennies on a dollar, and I know a lot of people want to point out the price tag that comes with Stephon Gilmore. He's only owed about $10 million the rest of the way, but you can push that out through avoidable years, through, you know, prorated roster bonuses heading into next season. You could definitely spread that money out. If you're the Pittsburgh Steelers and, you know, you're thinking Super Bowl within the next couple of years, I really feel like they missed the ship and they missed the boat to get a guy who could very, very, very well could have made that happen.
Yeah, I agree. I think Stephon Gilmore fit everything that the Pittsburgh Steelers needed at this point in the season. My only concern was if you hit free agency, the Steelers are not a team that's competing for anything right now. So I thought, chances are he's not coming to Pittsburgh because he wants to go win with Aaron Rodgers and company, or go to LA where it's beautiful and you got Justin Herbert, or go down south like every other veteran ever, because the salary cap doesn't exist, but it really doesn't exist when you're drinking avocado tequila in Tampa Bay. That's where I thought he was heading. I didn't think Pittsburgh was among that list. However, you know, Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert have a way with these guys. I'm sure that Ben Roethlisberger is much more respected within the NFL right now than he is outside of it. maybe it could have happened. Major miss, major loss by the Steelers here. I got some hair sticking out of the hat. Hate that. That's how you know your hair is getting real long, when you catch it on the camera and you're like, ooh, we got a wing here. Either way, the Steelers, I didn't think that they could have, possibly could have. When it came down to the trade, to miss him for a sixth-round pick, I get it. Maybe they didn't even know. I didn't realize that the 4 o'clock rule was a thing. Like, I thought that once a guy was released, he was released. I didn't think during the regular season you had to actually wait to do something like that.
Yeah.
Paperwork wasn't gone through till 4 o'clock. Carolina probably called. They might have been the only ones that called, for being honest. They might have been one of a couple that were like, hey, we'll give you this. And New England's like, well, yep, whatever. Sounds good to us. Take him.
Well, I don't think the Patriots would have been very keen on trading him in conference to a team they probably consider to be another like team trying to be another contender. Mm-hmm. So I definitely do understand that. You know, I'm sure the Steelers picked up the phone. I'm sure Kevin Colbert picked up the phone and just kind of like had a couple of conversations at like bare minimum. But at the end of the day, the only way he's going to come to Pittsburgh, you know, put on black and gold was through free agency. And it looked like the Panthers weren't even trying to let that happen.
No, Panthers. No, I'm sure a bunch of teams were like that. And you're probably right. Sixth round pick for Carolina is probably a fourth round pick this year from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And here's a really good thing about Carolina picking him up too. If he walks in free agency, that's a comp pick for them. You know, just depending on the kind of deal he gets. I mean, I doubt he gets the $15 million like he says he wants, but even if he gets around that $10, $12 million range, it's still another really solid comp pick for the Panthers in the following draft.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. It's a good move. It's a good move for those involved. It's a bad move for those that missed out. The Pittsburgh Steelers, unfortunately, were one of them. What the Pittsburgh Steelers do have to deal with this week is the Denver Broncos. We've said that. Teddy Bridgewater, quarterback of the Broncos, could play. Chances are he is going to play. Things look good right now. He's progressing through concussion protocol. He practiced at a limited capacity on Thursday. Things are looking up. He doesn't have to get cleared until Saturday by 4 o'clock. Teddy Bridgewater might play. On the other side of that, negative news for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Everybody and their mother seems to be hurt right now, but the big one, Cam Sutton, does not look like he's going to participate in the game on Sunday. He's missed the last two practices. You know, just from what I hear, what I understand, things are not looking good for this week. Teddy Bridgewater plays. Cam Sutton does not play. How big of a blow is that to the Pittsburgh Steelers? How big of a challenge is that for the guys that now have to defend a surprisingly good Teddy Bridgewater on Sunday?
Yeah, I feel like Teddy Bridgewater has proved a lot of people wrong, including me. I was not a Teddy B fan, especially after what we saw out of him in Carolina. But I feel like if any team is going to resurrect his career, it's going to be a very well put together Denver Broncos roster. And I don't think the Broncos are making a deep playoff push. I don't think they're winning the Super Bowl. But they're a team that's going to compete week in and week out at very bare minimum. Teddy Bridgewater kind of like fits into that mold of, you know, hey, just don't lose those ball games, and, you know, we feel like our chances are going to be good a week in, a week out. That's exactly what's been going on for the Broncos. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater's been playing phenomenal. He's not turning the ball over. He's finding open receivers, and he's letting his defense do a lot of the work, which is a very good recipe for a Super Bowl. I think Pittsburgh has won a couple Super Bowls, letting their phenomenal defense do the work and just, you know, letting the quarterback make plays whenever the play is called upon. Cam Sutton not being there kind of worries me, and we didn't see a whole lot of great things from James Pierre, but then again, show me a corner that's done very well against Davante Adams throughout the course of a 60-minute game, and I'll show you a liar, basically, right? You know, James Pierre against Davante Adams for a good bit of the game versus the Packers, not exactly phenomenal. But, I mean, the Broncos have pretty solid receivers, too. The Broncos have pretty solid receivers as well. I feel like their offensive line is, like, pretty good, too. So Teddy B's going to have that, you know, protection to find open receivers. It's not good. Not good at all. Obviously, you still have Joe Hayden. I don't know if this opens up the door for anybody else in the secondary. You've been on the Arthur Mollett train the last couple weeks.
Arthur Mollett had a good game against the Packers. I'll give him that. But I'm not on any Arthur Mollett train. Let's not jump on board anything crazy. He had a great game against the Green Bay Packers. I'll give him that. James Pierre, the Davante Adams thing, I get it. Maybe I'm being a little pessimistic here. James Pierre has looked bad against pretty much everybody he's faced except for one batted ball against Stephon Diggs this season. Ja'Marr Chase, he looked like he just gave up on that. And like for a guy who claims to be faster than Lamar Jackson, well, maybe not all the time. You're faster than Lamar Jackson. You get beat by Ja'Marr Chase. You know, it's becoming a constant thing. He doesn't really look like, I mean, I think a lot of people had high expectations for James Pierre. They expected him to be a breakout guy this season. Yeah. I don't think he's that. The Steelers have another option. His name's Justin Lane. And maybe they activate a guy named Akello Witherspoon for a game this season. Do they reach out and get Carl Joseph? I don't know. But those are their options. It's not looking good.
It sucks because like the Steelers were really banking on James Pierre to be that guy, especially with releasing Steven Nelson to the offseason. And like James Pierre, I felt like he had a pretty good week one, right? Like it felt like he played pretty decent in Buffalo. So like the stock was like right here. And then ever since kind of been like going down and down further by the week. But the Steelers did this to themselves. And that goes for the defensive side of the ball, goes for the offensive side of the ball. You're 1-3 and it's all your fault. It's literally all your fault.
It is true. They did not prepare for any of it. But, I mean, at the same time, like, you know, James Pierre's picking off Ben Roethlisberger in training camp, and everybody's like, oh, there it is. Then we realize everybody can pick off Ben Roethlisberger this season. It's really not hard to do. So now it's just like, oh, well, you know, a little false hope there on James Pierre's part. Does a guy like Carl Joseph get called up this week, or do you think that they just rock it out with Justin Lane, James Pierre, and Akello Witherspoon? Obviously Joe Hayden, but he doesn't really count in this group.
Yeah, they might just rock it out with them. I mean, I feel like Carl Joseph is definitely better suited to play that safety role that he's traditionally played. So I'm not really sure putting him on the boundary and helping kind of fill those gaps, which if there's any gaps left.
What about
linebacker?
What about those dimebacker roles?
That's exactly where I was going to, because like I don't like Pierre in a slot. Get Justin Lane the F away from that football field as far as possible, man. I don't want that dude seeing the field. You know, Trey Norwood has not been. Did you say wow? Like this is the first time I've said
no, no, no. Bad. I just laughed. I just laughed. Okay, man. Yeah, just plain, man. Why are you spitting?
Yeah, why am I hating?
No,
man. You know, I think we both agree that Trey Norwood hasn't exactly been phenomenal this year. He's had moments, that's for sure. But I don't trust him kind of lining up in that role. So. A bunch of okay guys, no guys I really feel comfortable with. So, yeah, maybe Carl Joseph does kind of get that elevation on games. I feel like that would be good. You know, there's a lot of hype for him coming onto the practice squad. And I feel like, dude, you're 1-3. You know, this is a game you should probably win. What's the worst that can happen?
I mean, Keith Butler was asked about Taco Charlton last week. And he addressed the Taco Charlton knew who he was. Somebody mentioned Carl Joseph's name, and granted, they said Joseph. They addressed him as Joseph. But we were talking about practice squad guys. It was pretty clear who we were talking about. And Keith Butler had no idea who Joseph was. He was just like, who? And we were just like, oh, gosh.
Wait, bro, are you an owl? What do you mean, who?
That's what I'm saying. Maybe Carl Joseph is just that not ready. I mean, he started 8 games for the Browns last season. At this point, I kind of expected him to be called up already. He's not. Once a guy stays on the practice squad a couple of weeks, all I start thinking is maybe he's just going to spend the year there. Maybe that's just what he's meant to do. I mean, Cody White's played 2 NFL games so far. Carl Joseph hasn't played a single NFL snap this season. I don't know. I don't think it's a fix-all to anything. I don't even know if it does fix anything. I don't know if I trust Carl Joseph, the dimebacker, more than I trust Trey Norwood. I also think that maybe I trust Carl Joseph playing the middle of the field, and I don't even know if I believe this that as I say it. But maybe I trust Carl Joseph playing the middle of the field more than I trust Trey Norwood so that Minka Fitzpatrick can play dime. I don't know. All I know is that it's a mess right now. It's not looking good. Cam Sutton, I didn't realize this, but Cam Sutton going down might be the worst injury the Steelers could face all season. I don't know how we got here. Like, there's so many things. There's another injury that everybody believes might save the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I think that's terrible to think. But at this point, the most popular man in Pittsburgh, it's not Mason Rudolph. It's Dwayne Haskins. But Mason Rudolph's pretty close second. Ben Roethlisberger is dealing with not only a left pec injury. Now he's got a hip injury that he says will upset your stomach if you saw it. That's how black and blue it is. The dude already walks like a penguin. We all know this. Now he's dealing with a hip injury. He said it straight up. Yeah, it affects my throwing motion. How much longer are we going to see Big Ben here? How much longer can he take these hits and deal with these injuries? It's week five, before he's leaving the game. Mason comes in and we see what happens from there.
I mean, I feel like we talked about this last week. I feel like we talked about this
every week. We have to talk about it every week. Every week you get hit like a million times. Every single week it's just getting worse.
So here's my thing. Long ago in the offseason, months ago, after we had a really good idea of what the team was going to look like, I remember coming on this show, All Steelers Talk, presented by AllSteelers.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube.
Boom.
And saying, I can't believe Big Ben came back to this team.
Yep.
I cannot believe this is the team for one final run at it. This is the team they put together for him.
Yep.
And through 4 weeks of play, this team has looked exactly like I thought it would. The offensive line is in shambles. And sooner or later, my man's going to break down. It's only week four, and he's dealing with two different injuries.
Man. Sooner or later, he's already broken down. Like, the dude's dealing with it. First, his upper half already ripped to shreds. Now his lower half, or the middle, I guess, is all beat up. Next thing you know, his ankles.
Long term, this is good. Because you know what's going to happen? Either Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins are going to be put into the game. If they're not going to do well, then we can end this whole experiment about Mason Rudolph is the future, Dwayne Haskins is the future. Then go grab a quarterback in the draft. Everything will be okay.
True. And I saw our boy Derek the Kid, Derek Bell, in the group chat, or in the chat. Dude gave a phenomenal breakdown on AllSteelers.com of the options that the Steelers will have this offseason. For quarterback next year, phenomenal. Like, when he pitched it to me, I was like, yeah, it's a great idea. When I got it, I was like, phew, okay, relax, buddy. Relax. I didn't think we were getting this great.
Phenomenal.
I want to talk to Anthony real quick. Mike Tomlin needs to put his foot down, sit Ben for the season, and start Mason. I agree with this comment. I do. I think that the best thing for the Pittsburgh Steelers right now is to say, hey, look, at least for right now, maybe not the season, but the best thing for the Steelers is to say, hey, Ben, go heal your body. Let's toss Mason in there. We'll see how he does for a couple of weeks. Like you said, worst case scenario, maybe best case scenario. He plays well, or he plays terrible. And it's just like, all right, Ben, get back out there. You're good to go. Next season, we got to go quarterback shopping. Maybe other best case scenario, he comes in here, he plays well. Ben, you know, don't worry about it. Ben was hurt. He went out hurt. That's totally fine. Acceptable. I'd rather go out hurt than 1-16. And Mason leads this team at least somewhere. Maybe at that point you pull a Mason or a Peyton Manning, Paxton Lynch type situation.
Oh, geez, man. Like Brock Osweiler?
Paxton Lynch was before somewhere in there. Either way, those two, I mean, you can say whatever you want. They won a Super Bowl. They went out in the reins of glory. That's how it went. That's how it ended. Maybe it happens this year. Let me ask this. If Mason comes in here, plays very subpar on a very beat up, unprepared football team, do the Steelers give him an excuse and say, well, you know, we just weren't built for this yet. Maybe next season. Maybe let's give you one more shot.
Oh, yeah, dude. And this is one thing I've learned. And don't get me wrong. Like, I'm Team Mason over Team Haskins. But, like, one thing I've learned is that, like, the Steelers organization loves Mason Rudolph for whatever reason. I don't know if he's got dirt on people in the front office. I don't know. But the organization loves Mason Rudolph. Just was it this week or last week whenever Mike Tomlin said he plays winning football? Just, like, even after the 2019 season, Kevin Colbert came out and said, yeah, you know, Mason played great, like this and that. And I'm just like, no, he didn't, bro. Like, I don't know what you watched. I don't know if you're trying to, like, put that into the universe. Like, man.
Mason played okay.
It's a lose-lose because, like, Mason wins. And then you're like, yeah, like, Mason's the future. Like, here's another four-year contract. And then if Mason does bad, it's like, oh, well, the pieces to the puzzle weren't there for Mason, you feel. And it's like, okay, well, like, where's the excuse for Ben?
We get that Kevin Colbert accent again. We get that one more time. Can we hear what Kevin Colbert sounds like?
Oh, man, I don't remember exactly the accent. It was like a thick Pittsburgh one.
It had a little bit of a southern feel to it. I was thinking Kevin Colbert might have switched regions here because I don't think anybody in Pittsburgh sounds like that.
It's like a hybrid.
Mason Rudolph, look at I'll defend Mason Rudolph. I think he played well against the Browns last season. We didn't get a good sample size. Maybe he is growing. Do I think he is the next franchise quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers? No. And I think a business decision will be made at some point. You know what I mean? There's so many fans out there that just don't like this dude to, at a point, Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert and Art Rooney are just going to be like, guys, nobody's buying a Mason Rudolph jersey. Get us a new quarterback. It's got to happen. It's a quarterback. That's how business decisions are made.
That's one bad thing. Like, even if Mason does come and ball out, people mm-hmm. will not support him.
No, it's already over.
People hate Mason Rudolph, man.
They do. And, like, look, I'm not going to say you shouldn't. I'm not going to say you should. Do your thing. Believe what you want to believe. But he's not the future.
I understand, but it's so weird for people to, like, call themselves Steeler fans but actively root against the guy playing quarterback for them.
They just don't like him. He came in here, rubbed him the wrong way. He was just the blandest quarterback of all time. Like, it was like Landry Jones. Whenever Landry Jones started, people were like, oh, my gosh, get him out of Pittsburgh right now. I'm like, dude, he's like he's the backup quarterback. He's the best backup quarterback in football. He's the most reliable number two ever. You forget he exists 90% of the time. Unfortunately, you never forget
Mason. Oh, man, whenever he threw that long touchdown to Martavis and he beat the Cardinals – oh, man. That's what I'm saying. Flying,
people were like, oh, my. Nobody cares. Like, and that's Mason Rudolph. I think the problem with Mason Rudolph is that there is still that chance that he is the next guy, and I think a lot of people are like, no, we cannot let that happen. And so that's why the hatred's so strong. That being said, if he does go out there and play okay, because at some point I believe Ben's season is at least going to take a break. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if it's this week. You can't tell me that a quarterback who doesn't have an upper body to throw the football and now doesn't have a hip to throw the football is going to be able to go out in a game on Sunday and throw a football well for four quarters while getting absolutely blasted by the defense. Not going to happen. And if anybody forgot, the Denver Broncos defense, at least their front seven, might be the best in the NFL. Like, it's disgusting. And they have the best cornerback trio or whatever in the NFL as well. Plus they have Justin Simmons at safety. It's just like, this defense is not, it's not going to be a joke. It's not going to be easy. If Mason at some point comes out here, plays well enough, he definitely gets another year, maybe at least another year. Yeah. Maybe another.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement with that. By the way, really quick, did you see those betting odds for he's going to be the 2022 starting quarterback for the Steelers from Odd Shark?
You mean my man number 12?
Who
loves the city of Pittsburgh? Who shared the most romantic in-game moment with Mike Tomlin that any two people on an NFL field have ever shared in the history of the NFL? Yeah. Yeah. I saw those odds. And I'm feeling real good about it. I think all Steelers talk, we report a lot of things. We stick to the cold, hard facts. Sometimes reported facts. We're not the people always reporting this stuff. We're going to get an Aaron Rodgers, number 12 to Pittsburgh train going right now. I don't care. That would be the one thing you want to – anybody. We can start making jerseys if we want. If we all wear an Aaron Rodgers jersey, he's got to come here. I feel so bad. So bad. It's the next step from Green Bay. It's not really a city, but it's cooler. It's definitely cooler than Green Bay. The weather still sucks half the time. Dude's right at home. Aaron Rodgers, what were those odds? Like 2,200 plus 2,200 or something?
It was like plus 200, I think.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was like plus 200, and Mason was like either plus 4 or plus 600, which, by the way, if you're looking to make some money, go bet on Mason Rudolph next year.
Yeah. Put some money on Mason Rudolph, lots of money on Mason Rudolph. Put a little bit of money on Aaron Rodgers because by the time that this show reaches him, he will feel bad enough that he will end up in Pittsburgh. Where else are you going to put your money this weekend? The Pittsburgh Steelers game, because it's time to go over the bets. Brought to you by SI Sportsbook, our favorite sportsbook, obviously. Pittsburgh Steelers at Denver Broncos, hosted at Heinz Field, which is huge. Before we get into this, we have to address something. Before the show, me and Donnie tried to come up with a name for this segment. And we realized very quickly that we were not cool enough, nor did we have enough time to come up with a cool name for this segment. Every Thursday, we're going over the bets. The SI Sportsbook bets on the Steelers game every week. On the off week, on the bye week, we'll go over the AFC North. We'll figure it out from there. We need you guys, everybody listening, come up with a name for this segment, hit us with it in the comments. Hit us with it on Twitter, hashtag All Steelers Talk. Wherever you want to email me, email me. I don't care. Come up with a name for it. We appreciate you. We'll use the next one, probably start next week. 1 o'clock, Sunday, Pittsburgh Steelers hosting the Denver Broncos at Heinz Field. Teddy Bridgewater still very up in the air. Ben Roethlisberger dealing with 900 injuries. No Cam Sutton likely going to happen. Steelers are 1-point favorites. Favorites in week 5 against the Denver Broncos. That's a tough one. What are your thoughts? What are you taking the spread? You're taking this 1-point. Steelers win it by at least one. So they got to win. That's all they got to do is win.
I feel like every segment we do with this, I always throw out the if. And you shut me down so quick, man.
You do throw the ifs out there every time. It's like, well, if this guy doesn't play the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's Thursday. We get a good grip of who's playing, who's not playing. We know what's happening. You're like, well, if Devin Bush falls down a hill tomorrow, I'm going with the Broncos. That's not how this goes. You're putting your money where your mouth is. What are you feeling?
Hey, 2 for 2 last week, by the way.
Yeah, I know, with the ifs. Go ahead.
All right, so tell me this. Is Teddy Bridgewater playing?
I would, if I had to imagine, Teddy Bridgewater was probably playing.
Okay. Give me the Broncos with the spread.
With the 1-point spread.
With the 1-point spread.
You don't think that the Steelers go 0-3? 50-50, pretty much.
Yeah, with that 50-50, with it being a 1-point spread, I mean, just take whatever better value there is, whether it's money line or the 1-point spread, because like it's the same thing, you know? Like, 1-point spread is basically just a win.
It's the same winner. Money line and the spread are both -110. That's how you know this game's close. Yeah. You think they're going 0-3 at home? They're going to start off 0-3 at home?
Oh, dude, I think so. There's not a lot of positives if you're a Steelers fan to look at this game and feel really confident. I mean, on the defensive side of the ball, Teddy B's been chopping defenses up, and you know you're missing your greatest chess piece on the defensive side of the ball. On the offensive side of the ball, you haven't been able to move the ball consistently versus pretty much anybody. And then you're going up against a very, very tough Denver Broncos defense who've been playing Renegade at practices every single day. You think you're not going to be ready for Renegade? You're wrong. You're wrong, bro.
Everybody's ready for Renegade. I don't trust Renegade. I haven't trusted Renegade in a long time. That being said, I cover the Pittsburgh Steelers, so it's still my ringtone. I sleep to that song. -1-point spread. I'm staring at it hard. I've been so optimistic about this team for the last 3 weeks. I've picked them every single week, and I have lost every single week, and it's time to turn that around. That being said, I do not think that Ben Roethlisberger is someone that's going to finish this football game, and I hope and pray that he does because I never want to see anybody get hurt, ever. But I just don't think it could happen. There's too many injuries. He's too old. His body's got hurt. And I think Mason Rudolph could come into this game and win a football game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think it could happen. I think the offensive line is ready. I think Joe Haig is going to start, and I think the offensive line is ready. I think Najee Harris is going to click. Something's going to click with Najee this week. I think Deontay and Juju and them are going to be fine. I never worry about those wide receivers, especially after Juju got that criticism last week, especially after that happened.
He'll bounce back.
Oh, and TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith now fully healthy. Wow, that's tough. That being said, again, we're going back. I got to go Broncos. Got to take the Broncos with the -1. I think it's almost zero chance that the Steelers win this game. I think that, you know, if craziness happens, you never know. Drew Lock could start for some crazy reason. If Drew Lock starts, I'll give you an if here. If Drew Lock starts, the Steelers win. I'll take that one. But if he does not, Teddy Bridgewater is going to win this game. We're both going with the +1 Broncos. There's no point. Either them take the money line. Doesn't matter. It's the same odds. Yep. The over-under, 39.5. That's a terrible over under. 39.5.
Yo.
We've taken the under on every single game, and it's hit every time.
39.5?
39.5.
Dude.
I think I'm going over. For the first time all season long, I think I'm going over.
Do you trust both teams to go over 20?
No, but I trust one team to go over 23.
Dude, so like even like a 23-17 score would get it done, huh?
Yeah. A 24-17 score would get it done.
Yeah.
A 22. No.
I think that can happen.
I know. I don't think it can. I think it's hard for it not to happen, especially without Cam Sutton. That secondary is going to be vulnerable. Or you have to look at it like this. The Pittsburgh Steelers have made crazy plays now twice in this NFL season. The last one got called back, which means they're due one.
True.
Field goal for a touchdown.
They're due one.
You brock one punt. Ray McLeod finally takes one to the house. You get one crazy event to happen. It's over. It's gone. The over hits. I think you have to take the over. Gotta take the over. The Denver Broncos, I gotta get out of here. ESPN's gonna start playing some crazy stuff. They always do. The Denver Broncos have one game where they haven't scored more than 40, but their overalls haven't scored more than 40. I think it's safe to hammer the over. This is the worst part of the show. Worst part of the show here. Our predictions. I think you got the last one, if you did not.
I said 27-13.
It was 27-17. Close. I mean, I got the 23-16. I said 23-17. Within that range. Within, you know, when you're like, oh, I got that one. It's impossible.
A couple points.
You're good. Maybe we'd hit you with the it went over. But, you know, we're not playing horseshoes.
True. Or hand grenades.
I'll
go. Give me like the over has to hit. Right in my prediction.
Yeah.
I'll give you a weird score.
I love weird scores.
Give me 24. Actually, no, just give me 24-17. Not a weird score.
24, the same score that the Pittsburgh Steelers have had for every single one of their games so far. Might as well just go 27-17 because that's just what they do. The Steelers just win or lose ball games. 23-27 points allowed for the winning team. I'm going to stick with you, though. I'm going to say the Broncos win. I honestly think that this one could get real out of hand, but I think it could stay close. I think the Steelers are going to give themselves a fighting chance and kind of show like, hey, guys, we're not totally dead here, you know? And that's all. People are going to underlook a close loss to the Denver Broncos. They're going to look at it and say like, oh, it's another loss. Well, Denver Broncos are a good football team, a very good football team. You know, you come close to a game like this, it shows – and a couple of things click, you know, the running game clicks, the offensive line clicks, Ben makes it through healthy. Maybe James Pierre plays well. A couple of things go well and they lose close. That's a positive loss for the Pittsburgh Steelers. The season, even if you started off 1-4, is far from dead. Far from dead. It's a long year. It's basically starting 1-3, and they started 1-4 in a 16-game season. Almost made it to the playoffs with Duck Hodges. This is not a Duck Hodges situation. Million times better than the Duck Hodges situation. Denver Broncos, 24, Pittsburgh Steelers, I want to go 16 and just say it's just going to hit it, but 16 is a weird score. Like, how do you get to 16? Like, you're going three field goals. But you only get to the end zone one time. Like, I think the defense or somebody scores at least once. So I'm gonna go 24-20, Denver Broncos. I feel good about that score. Gets them over. I'm feeling good. Before we go, I wanna, you know, some poison radio here. We gotta address this comment. Just popped in here. We don't like to ignore anybody even late. Juju needs to step up. Yes, he does. But at the same time, those overthrows, I'm not gonna put on him. Look at Juju probably could have made that catch, but if we're going to be fair, and that's all I'm trying to be is fair here, people made excuses that Ben Roethlisberger should kind of be excused for the negative 1 yard plays because, or I wouldn't say they said he should be excused, but people used the excuse, well, you know, he has those instincts to get it out there. He just has to overcome those instincts that he's going to get hit. His body's fragile. You know, he's just going to, it's just going to be those quick throws. He's got to overcome that. Yeah, Juju probably has to overcome those same things because the dude played with hurt ribs last week. You threw two balls above his head, one of which you could say whatever you want about that safety coming over the middle. You lob that up a normal pass, Juju's coming down with that 10 times out of 10, and it's a touchdown. I do not care. Even if he had to go up for that one, which was ridiculous, or the other one, he's putting his whole body out there. I'm sure he's thinking about his health, or at least in the moment his body is saying, yo, dude, that's a bad idea. We're not doing that. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to have those instincts. Now you have to overcome them. It's a mistake by Juju. He does need to step up this week and play a little bit better. I do expect him to, though, but I'm not putting all the blame on Juju for those.
I would agree. I think he steps up. And to your point, I mean, that dude's looking at a paycheck next offseason. You know, if I'm playing on hurt ribs and my quarterback throws me a ball up over yonder and I see a safety screaming right there for me, I'm not going up.
Nope.
I'm not.
I'm out. Before we head out here, Juju Smith-Schuster, shout out to you, man, for going and buying the ladies' groceries at Giant Eagle. I don't care. People are saying, oh, well, it was for the clout. I don't care if it was for the clout or not for the clout. And you're walking around in your hoodie like this, man. You're not looking for the clout. That's not what you're looking for. You are out there. The dude, the lady who's in front of you, you're probably just like, you know, whatever. I could do this. It takes no effort at all. Went up and did it. Claps to Juju. Way to do it, man. Thank you, everybody, for jumping on to another episode of All Steelers Talk. And we will see you tomorrow.